The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Could Dak Prescott or Jadeveon Clowney or me, anyone attempting to negotiate a contract into the future economy, be betting on a bad future? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always answer that question, 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you're not under contract, and sometimes today in this economy, even if you are, it's hard to look to tomorrow or a year's worth of tomorrows and think it's going to get better. So why negotiate off into the future? You know, we talked about Dak Prescott's career, his contract over the last couple of months, and we've negotiated it, we've debated it from every single angle. There was some suggestion, it came up in our pre-show meeting, I believe it was our supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, who brought it up, that said Dak Prescott might be waiting to see what happens with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is supposed to get paid and probably will get paid a year from now. Maybe Dak Prescott is very happy to play under the franchise tag and do his deal after Patrick Mahomes so he can come in over the top of it. But that's negotiating into a future, an economy that is filled with a ton of unknowns. And right now, more negatives than positives, more pessimism than optimism. What does the economy, what does the sports economy, what do salary caps, and therefore what do contracts look like 1 year from now as compared to today? One of the phrases that has come to the forefront of sports over the past 2 weeks, and one that actually can put you to sleep. In fact, I think Mike A., who's working on our show, the last time we had ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks on the show, that put Mike A. to sleep and turned his listening ears off was the concept of force majeure. Force majeure is really honestly one of the most two important words in all of sports today. It literally translates from French to superior power. It means contractually who has the higher power. So it goes like this. Television networks and sports leagues, who has the higher power on the contract? Do the sports leagues get paid even if they don't put on games, or do networks have the superior power to back out of the contracts? Where's that money going? Is it going to the leagues or to the networks? If it's not going to the leagues, salary caps are reducing. If salary caps are reducing, player contracts are getting reduced, and free agents are negotiating into a diminishing pool of money. Force majeure also can come into play when you're talking about insurance, because one of the things that's come up over the last couple of days, and I saw Darren Revelle tweet about this, he works for the Action Network and does business reporting, the Wimbledon tennis tournament is an insurance policy that covers for pandemics, but not many sporting events do have that clause in their insurance policies. They might be there for acts of God. They might be there for property damage. They might be there for a flood, but not necessarily for a pandemic. Wimbledon is. And therefore, Wimbledon, I think, can almost be made whole, even though they're not going to put it on this time around. The same might be for the Open Championship golf tournament. But for others, I don't know if there's insurance coverage for not putting on their events. I know this can get all tired head, white noise, buzzkill, dead silence when you're talking about force majeure and insurance policies and who gets paid. I don't want to see my sports. Who cares? But this is how it ends up impacting our sports. We're looking at a massive economic contraction. Sports is just a small part of that. But we're looking about who knows how many billions of dollars being lost, shifted from leagues to networks, leagues to players, players to leagues, fans to entertainment choices. And how does that all shake out when we come back? Does it come back just the way we left it? Does it come back, in quotation marks, normal? That's hard to project right now. That's hard to see. It's hard to know that we're going to have an environment tomorrow that's better than the one today. It's hard to know that you're negotiating, be it Dak Prescott or even Patrick Mahomes, into a world where the money is the same. The NFL has been largely exempt from this idea. I think the NFL has considered itself protected. And if anybody should have confidence, it's the NFL. Business will be back and business will be good. It's the supreme entertainment product in the world. It's not just in sports. But at least in the United States of America, the supreme entertainment product. But will it go untouched? Well, let's think about that. The top of the spigot on the money flow, the very top of the spigot is you and me. If, as there are suggested by some economists, projections of unemployment reaching unimaginable numbers, 10%, 20%, just this week it was 6 million lost jobs. Well, who's going to pay for a cable subscription? Who's going to pay for an ESPN Plus subscription? Who's going to play for the WWE app for WrestleMania? Who's going to pay for League Pass at NBA? Who's going to pay for a Sunday ticket? Everybody that can, I'm sure will, because these are supreme entertainment choices. We want these. That's why you're here and I'm here, because we love sports. But at some point, ability becomes part of the equation. Do we have the ability to pay? And if fans turn off that spigot, then the television networks and the media companies have to tighten their spigot. And if that happens, then the leagues tighten their spigot. The television rights deals, which we assume just go up, up, up and away into the never-ending stratosphere, well, that starts to come down. And then the NBA's new salary cap and collective bargaining agreement and the NFL's, which they're trying to lock down right now, tighten up. And then player salaries tighten up. And then salary caps tighten up. And then Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes don't have the same opportunities tomorrow that they had today. Don't have the same kind of contractual parameters and sky is the limit yearly salaries that they had today. All that from the idea of force majeure. A concept in two words that give us tired head. That eventually means, are we sure our quarterback is going to come back and at the price that he wants? We're at the beginning of something that not only is going to put a hiatus on everything we love, but threaten to change it when it comes back. What will it be? All of it. All of it. Our leagues, our sports, our economy, our lives. What will it be when it comes back? And that doesn't have to mean we resign ourselves to something worse. It might be our opportunity to make something better. Grant from Michigan, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show. Yeah. He was going to tell me I had to watch WrestleMania.
Yeah, he was excited. He was excited about it. He was like, "No, he's like, you got to watch. You got to watch it."
I'm going to have to give it a try at some point. I really am. There's enough of you guys telling me that I got to watch it. Enough of you out there that love it that I'm going to have to try it at some point.
Grant's back.
Grant, why should I do it? I mean, everybody tells me I should, but I need the compelling, like, go ahead. Like, I need. I'm standing at the edge of the diving board. My knees are knocking, and I think I want to jump. But I keep reaching for Daddy's hand behind me. I'm not sure this is my time.
Okay, Will, I got you. There's three huge matches that I think you're just going to love. Okay? You got The Undertaker, who's one of the biggest stars in all of wrestling history, and he's going up against one of the most athletic, talented wrestlers ever in AJ Styles. Must-see match.
Okay. You know, Mike Ryan, the producer of Dan Le Batard's show, said that he compared me to AJ Styles. I don't think I've ever seen AJ Styles wrestle, but he said if I were a wrestling character, I would be AJ Styles. Is that right, Grant?
Well, you know, you're pretty good, Will, but, you know, AJ Styles is great.
Oh.
So okay. That's a tough act to follow.
Okay.
But then you love a great sports story, okay? Randy Orton versus Edge. Edge has not had a wrestling match in 9 years. He had to retire because of neck problems when he was 37 years old. Now he's 46 in the best shape of his life, making his return to the sport that he loves. Great sports story.
Best shape of his life at 46? I don't know. Call me a skeptic on that.
Well, you take a look at a picture before and after. Okay? And then you said you know who Becky Lynch is. She's the biggest star in women's wrestling history, probably. You know, face of the magazines, the video games and everything. Well, she's going up against Shayna Baszler, who fought in UFC. She fought Amanda Nunes, huge star, making her first really big match other than NXT, and that's going to be an awesome match.
Okay, those three matches, I need to tune in to see those three matches. I think I'm going to make a promise that I will try it this weekend. I have to go out. I appreciate the call, Grant. I have to go out of my way. I'm going to have to buy it, right? I got to buy it, but I'm willing to do it just to be together for all of us. We're looking for togetherness. I want to be together with you. So if we're all going to agree that we're going to be together for some WrestleMania this weekend, I'll do that. We're going to be together for something, right? We've done homework for two weekends in a row. We got to do it this weekend as well. Now, the guys have a problem with it. Bubba's not in. Mike A's not in. I don't even know if Pat's in. So if we're not going to be together on WrestleMania, we're going to have to find something. And what's our movie category going to be this week? The leader in the clubhouse right now is lawyer movies. Let's find out if that's the case, and let's put a couple big ones on the board. That, and I did rewatch a sporting event last night. Generally not into that, but I got to do it through the eyes of my children. And it was good. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit GEICO.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. What's our homework going to be this weekend? What's our movie binge category going to be? I think we're leaning towards lawyer movies. But first, I generally have an aversion or just no excitement for watching games I've already seen. Wasn't a big ESPN Classic guy. And now that we have no sports, I haven't even been able to muster up the interest in watching things I know the outcome of. I love the 2011 NBA Finals. It's one of my favorite sporting events ever. Favorite outcomes ever. In fact, let's just back the envelope. Best sporting moments of my life. Worst sporting moments of my life. Best. 1993 Super Bowl. Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, Pasadena.
Classic. Remember when you won the Super Bowl back way back in the day? That was great.
What was that sound you just broadcast to our audience?
That was me laughing at you.
It sounded 100% like a fart.
Classic.
Get your act together,
Cowboys young man. Winning the Super Bowl. What a time.
Leon Lett, I was at the game. Picking up, running back a fumble, and Don Beebe coming flying down the sidelines and knocking out of poor Leon's hands right before he got into the end zone. Outside of that moment, generally that Super Bowl was a whooping, and the Dallas Cowboys won their first of three. 2011 NBA Finals. Dirk Nowitzki finally gets his ring and does it in fashion, beating LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, who had mocked him for having a cold, not coronavirus, a cold during that Finals. Sweet redemption and justice. The unexpected championship, one of the best ever. Expected don't have quite the love, the shine to them. That's why a third Super Bowl for the Cowboys didn't quite do it for me like a first did, or like the Mavericks 2011 NBA Finals. Definitely one of the best. One of the worst, it would either be the 2010 or 11 World Series where the Texas Rangers lost, and in one of those they were one strike away twice. But the best sports moment that I can remember, and the best, I think, game, not just college football, but any game ever played is the 2006 Rose Bowl, the national championship game between the dynasty USC Trojans, who I believe were on a 34-game win streak, who had Heisman Trophy winners all over the field, and Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, had first-round draft picks all over the field, had Pete Carroll on the sideline, and people talked about them being possibly the best college football team ever. But as Desmond Howard tweeted last night when he saw Reggie Bush's family at the Heisman ceremony and said, your son's going to win the Heisman, but when he plays Texas, he's going to encounter a player like he's never seen before. Texas was full of its own NFL players all over that squad, most notably in the defensive backfield. Every single one of those guys and the guys on the bench were NFL DBs, cornerbacks and safeties for some time in the league, all pro level, Pro Bowl level in the league. But of course, the star of the show, the star among stars, the man among boys, and the boys on the field were NFL Pro Bowlers, was number 10, was VY, was Vince Young, the greatest college football player I've ever seen. It aired last night on ESPN, and I can't get excited for things I've already seen, but I figured the key out. I got my two boys who had not seen it, were not born, and we sat down and we stayed up late and we watched it. Now, the only bummer is I thought they'd go bananas on 4th and 5 when Vince runs it in for the win, but they could tell the reason I wasn't making them watch it was because Texas was going to win. It was a little bit like, okay, Dad, we kind of saw where this was going. If USC was the champion, we wouldn't be staying up late. I was like, you're right. We're not watching the 2010, or was it 9 or 10, college football championship. We're not watching Texas-Bama. We're watching Texas-USC. So say what you will, but they're a little smart. But it was awesome, man. It was awesome to watch it again. Texas versus USC. And everybody was tweeting it last night. Everybody involved was on Twitter. And some people were treating it like they were watching it for the first time. It was fun, man. It was almost like we had sports back. Guys watching, guys tweeting, guys reacting. It was fun, man. It was fun last night. It was what it felt like, you know. You got to remember. Not just when I'm talking about Texas fans or college football fans, but sports fans, what it felt like to have that again. Because what we have is an event that brings us together. That's what it is. That's what sports is it not? I mean, it's life lessons, it's meaning, it's resilience, it's all that. But it's also dudes coming together, busting chops, laughing, having fun, rooting, jeering, all of it, man. It's the opposite of what we have to do right now. It's togetherness, not distance. It was fun for a moment. Now what do we watch this weekend? What's our homework? Okay, it was heist movies, I won. It was war movies, Mike A won. It was Saving Private Ryan for war movies and Hell or High Water for heist movies. Now we got to figure out what we're going to watch this weekend. I don't think we have a consensus that we'll do WrestleMania as our homework. We're going to do a movie category. So before we hit the big board, have we decided, Nuno, Bubba, Pat, that we're going to go with lawyer movies? Is that what we want to do?
I think we have to. I think it's a great category, and you're technically a lawyer.
Technically. Bubba, are you in? You're kind of a resident skeptic. Are you in for a handful of lawyer movies this weekend?
Yeah, I think I've seen maybe 3 lawyer movies, so I can probably pick something out of that.
Nuno, you want to do mob movies? You down with some lawyer movies?
I'm down with some lawyer movies.
Okay, what's our big board look like? Let's just think. Okay, I'm going to start the brainstorming session. Let's put them up on the board, and we'll have our nominations in the final hour of the show. I'm going to shoot from the hip here. Let's start the list. Yesterday, Ryan McGee said we got to put To Kill a Mockingbird up there. Hadn't seen it. Everybody says it's great. Of course, you got to go with the Matthew McConaughey canon. You got to get A Time to Kill up there and A Lincoln Lawyer up there, right? So that's 3. What else? What are our other nominees?
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men, good one. Yes, making the list.
Devil's Advocate.
Oh, love that speech.
My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
What about The Verdict with Paul Newman?
Here we go again with Pat and the old movies.
The movie's from 1982.
Okay, you weren't born. What else? What do we got? That's it?
Bubba, which 3 did you watch? What about The Firm?
Oh, good one.
The Firm is one of them. I think it's The Firm, My Cousin Vinny, and A Few Good Men. And I think I've seen The Lincoln Lawyer.
What is the other John Grisham one with Matt Damon? The Rainmaker.
The Rainmaker.
Yep, that works.
A Time to Kill.
Yes, I said that. That's good.
What about Michael Clayton?
I think that's good. Is that a lawyer movie? He was never in a trial or in a courtroom. He was an attorney, but more like a fixer, right?
Correct.
How about Legally Blonde?
I was waiting for it, Pat. I was hoping you'd get it on your own without me having to give it to you.
Liar, Liar? That was Mike A. just text us that.
Okay. Runaway Jury, that's good. That's another Grisham one, right, Bubba? You said that?
Yeah.
Pat, if you're going to do Legally Blonde, do you want to do your other ones you were talking about yesterday?
I don't remember the other ones I was talking about yesterday.
Okay. You guys remember Aaron Brockovich?
Oh, that was Bubba. Bubba pitched that one.
That's false. Mike A. also suggests Philadelphia.
Okay, Philadelphia. All right, we got a big board now. We got a lot. Came out of the gates a little slow. Okay, that's a lot. We'll see if there's anything egregious that we left out. 888-729-3776. We've got A Few Good Men, My Cousin Vinny, The Verdict, Lincoln Lawyer, Time to Kill, The Firm, Rainmaker, Runaway Jury, Michael Clayton, Legally Blonde, Liar Liar, Aaron Brockovich, Philadelphia. We'll nominate each of our favorite lawyer movies in the final hour. We'll watch them this weekend, see who wins on Monday. One of the things that's being lost or not talked about enough, I think this entire experience, is mental health. Now, hear me out here, because I think that's one of those two-word buzz phrases that can kind of make you go, oh, man, I want to talk about where Tua is going to get drafted. I know. But I'm talking about mental health not just for us but for athletes. How are they dealing with this? How are they going to get through with this? How are they going to come back the same? I talked about motivation, reprioritizing. Who do we lose through this process? Because competitive fires can die out. Talk to a sports psychologist next in the Will Cain Show.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
How do we get through this? Not just physically, but mentally. I think one of the things is you have to escape. You got to talk about other things. I think that's you and me hanging out. I think that's what sports traditionally serves the purpose of. We got to do it on our own, too, when we're not together. We got to do it and come out of this on the other side mentally healthy. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. So this came up to us, and I found this fascinating. Dr. Michael Gervais is a sports psychologist. He's a psychology coach for the Seattle Seahawks. He's worked with Olympians, artists, musicians, MVPs in every major sport, and Fortune 100 CEOs. And he's paying attention now to how we come out of this or go through this, better termed. How do we go through this? Not just pandemic, but lockdown, quarantine, not just physically healthy, but mentally healthy. And he's on our phone lines right now. Dr. Gervais, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. So you work with the Seahawks. I don't know if there's anything specific they have you on right now. Like, what are you doing to work with players? But I'd like to know if that's true. Like, what are you guys doing? Because I only imagine the normal job, what you normally do in sports psychology with athletes, it's not what you're doing today, right?
Oh, good question. And, you know, like, let me just start with this one thought, and then I'll jump into the nuance of your question, is that as humans, there's only three things that we can condition and train. We can train our craft, we can train our body, and we can train our mind. And the training of the mind is the lane I spend most of my time in. And so it's not like once you train your mind once, you're done. You know, it's same like on the physical side. Once you train your body in one off season, like, oh, I never need to train again. It is a continual process. Mm-hmm. And the way that people used to think about psychology was that it was something about the disordered mind or the dysfunction or the weak mind. That's so old. It is so old because our minds go everywhere we go. It's the way that we experience the world. And so what we're trying to do at the Seattle Seahawks is to create an environment, and Coach Carroll's world-class at it, create an environment where people can do their very best work. And for that to happen, we need to have really strong minds. And so the strength of the mind is one who can be nimble and adjust and pivot and find a way to optimize every single moment that they possibly can. So what am I doing now? Same thing, just with a different dialogue and a different conversation, which is like, okay, so how are we going to adjust? And, I think that, as you've eloquently said, these are hard times for people. And there is a time to distract yourself, and there is a time to drill in, to really learn more about who you are and who you want to be for other people in your community. So there is a toggle that's taking place for all of us.
Dr. Michael Gervais, Seattle Seahawks psychology coach here on The Will Cain Show. I could do some kind of traditional interview with you for the next 5 minutes, but I just want to have a conversation with you about some thoughts I have, and you can tell me if you think I'm off base or on base. Would that be all right, doctor?
Let's roll, yeah.
So I've developed this idea, and it's not mine. You know, I read and, you know, take in information different ways. And one of the things I find that I think is one of the keys to a healthy mind or avoiding depression, these kind of things, is a sense of purpose in life. Like, when you wake up every day, do you know who you are and why you're here? Do you have something productive to seek and push forward? Obviously, athletes do on at least seasonal basis, and then over a several year span they do. And human beings out there, people listening with jobs, you know, to some extent they do. And everybody, and I actually think athletes less than others probably right now, have had that purpose put on pause. To me, I've read stories about, you know, special forces, warriors coming home from war, no longer having that purpose. And that's a big part of what goes on. Athletes at the end of their career losing their purpose, and then therefore depression follows. And I have to think that is going on so widespread in society right now.
You are right on the money right there. And there was a study that Harvard did. It was a 75-year study. And they studied fulfillment. And they tracked people, a lot of people, for 75 years. And they asked people that were fulfilled and people that were not fulfilled in life, well, what's the difference between these two groups? And as the data sifted out, one of the key variables is that those were that were most fulfilled in life wrestled with the hard challenges and problems and questions. They wrestled with the hard questions in life, like, what is my purpose? And if your purpose is only met by the thing you do, it falls short when you can no longer do that thing. Mm-hmm. So what a beautiful example of the power of purpose is, you know, let's just use the NFL for a moment, but we can translate this across all sport, is that every Sunday there's a purpose. And it's clear. And so it allows us to work at incredible rates, with incredible intensity throughout the week to get to that Sunday purpose. And people have some of the most dynamic experiences while they're, you know, purpose-driven in that way. Then after sport, to your point, is that people can struggle. But here's the science of purpose. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. This translates industry, it translates sport, it translates down into the human experience across the planet, that there's three components, according to research, of purpose. One, whatever it is, it has to matter to you. Nobody can give you your purpose. You have to wrestle with it. Second is, it has to be bigger than you. So it's not about just doing something. It's doing something in the aim of something bigger than you, greater cause. And the third is that it's future-oriented. You get those three things right, purpose is in alignment. What does that mean? If you don't know your big purpose in life, no problems. Have your purpose during this pandemic. Like, what could my purpose be during this pandemic? And I bet you if you really get quiet and listen, your purpose, once you have the basic needs met in your life, the bigger purpose is about helping other people. And so
I want to ask you something I've struggled with. You said, and I believe that you're right. Like, I'm moving this direction. I used to say, and look, I have boys. I have little men I'm trying to raise, and I actually think sports psychology is fascinating because you watch them struggle with concepts like resilience and controlling their emotions and everything, right? It's all between their ears. Not quitting, everything. That's sports psychology. So I deeply respect this concept, this practice. I used to think, and I still am working on this, you are simply a product of your actions. So what you do is what you are. You can say you're something else. You can say you want to be, but what you are is what you do, and you're an accumulation of that. So when you say your purpose is not what you do or your occupation, I know what you mean by that. But I remember at one point saying, I'm going to stop saying, what do I want to be? I'm going to tell my boys, don't tell me what you want to be. Tell me what you want to do. But now it sounds like I almost got that backwards. I should be thinking about your purpose is who you are. It's because you just told me what you do can be taken away, right? An athlete retires, a warrior comes home. And so how do I reconcile all this, I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Complicated question. And I can tell you've been thinking a lot about it. This is awesome because this is the right conversation to have.
Well, hold on real quick. Is your answer to me? I bet your answer to me is long. So let me ask you this. Can I take a commercial break? Would you hang out with me longer?
Oh, yeah. Love to. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break. You can answer that question. I hope you remember it and the audience remembers it as well, because I am fascinated by this conversation. And we're also going to get to, by the way, the best lawyer movie of all time. I promise everybody listening. That's all coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. We're still hanging out with Dr. Michael Gervais. He's the Seattle Seahawks psychology coach. And right before I so rudely interrupted him and went to commercial break, I was asking him a complicated question, I guess, about the struggle I've had between, are you an accumulation of what you do or what you want to be? I've told my boys, don't tell me what you want to be, tell me what you want to do. But, doctor, you were just telling me you're more than what you do, because what you do can come to an end. Comes to an end for athletes, comes to an end for warriors, and right now for many people out there in society whose jobs have sent them home and in many cases laid them off, what they do is no longer part of them.
Okay, so it's nuanced, and it's wonderful that we're having this conversation, because there's something I've been learning on the frontier of human performance for the last handful of years. And the early part of our conversation, we were talking about purpose, but purpose is an idea, right? And then you got to back it up. So purpose is like, my purpose is, and then you fill in the blanks, okay, what your purpose is. And it, I can tell you mine, but it does no service to your community. But you got to know your purpose. That's an idea. What supports it are your actions. Now, what supports your actions are your thoughts. So let me share you what I've been learning, though. And actually, before I get to that part, about it from that framework is that when your thoughts and your actions line up, and they're towards your purpose, that's a very powerful human. You know, you can think about Gandhi. You can think about Mother Teresa. You could think about Buddha and Jesus, and fill in the blanks. Their thoughts, their words, and their actions lined up toward their life purpose, or the smaller end slice of purpose is the purpose of today, right? But this is what I've been learning about the doing and the being. We used to believe that you need to do more to be more, and it's broken. It's something that the best of the best, the tip of the arrow performers, are recognizing, and we're having conversations about it, as they're saying, I don't need to do the extraordinary to be extraordinary. I need to flip that model. I need to be extraordinary. What does that mean? I need to be more grounded, more present, more creative, more connected, and then let the doing flow from there. And that is part of the recipe of mastery. Be more and let the doing flow from there.
As an example, to make this concrete, I would like you to share with me what your purpose is.
My purpose is to help people train their mind to live in the present moment more often. And it's because the present moment is where high performance is expressed and wisdom revealed. And an undisciplined mind, Will, is one that is all over the shop. It's easily distracted. It doesn't have the ability to harness emotions. A disciplined mind can be in the present moment, independent of consequences, independent of risk, and they can line up their thoughts, their words, and their actions. Basically, their mind and their body are in the same place towards the same aim, and that is where high performance and mastery and wisdom are all expressed. That's my purpose, help people train their mind to live in the present moment more often.
I think I get what you're saying, and I am going to certainly put myself through that same analytical tree. You know, it sounds incredibly high-minded, but I think my purpose has something to do with telling the truth, something to do with being independent, something to do with bringing people together in a place where they can't find that, in a world that I think is full of misinformation and lies, to try to give them a refuge of truth. And that could come in the form, now we get to the actions, that could come in the form of a sports talk show radio, it could come in the form of anything. The doing can change as long as I continue in the pursuit of that purpose. I could do it here, I could do it somewhere else, I could do it in this mechanism, I could do it in that mechanism. Is that a good way of distinguishing what you're talking about between being and doing?
Completely it. Right? Okay. Because what you're talking about is a philosophical position, which is, I'm going to speak the truth, but my mission is to help, and I forgot how you said it, but really to help dispel bad information or to provide something, you know, like you said it eloquently, and I didn't hold on to it. And the way you're going to do it is through head mechanism. But the way you're going to do it is through this show and other types of experiences, right, where you get to hold the standard of truth. Well done.
Dr. Yeah, Michael, cool. Michael Gervais, Seattle Seahawks psychology coach here on the Will Cain Show. So now let's bring this back to what you do with the Seahawks and in this moment we live in right now. You've got all your players, whoever they may be, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, whoever it may be, they're all training at home right now with some level of disconnect. So you're telling me their purpose remains the same. They're doing right now must be a little bit different, and then you got to help them focus on that?
Yeah, so this is an interesting time right now is that it's an off season. So typically the athletes are not in the building. So they would be home or they would be wherever they normally are during this phase where they're not connected on a day-to-day basis inside the building training. So this is actually, you know, kind of par for how the rhythm of our season goes. And mm-hmm. So what's happening right now in NFL franchises is the coaches are gearing up for like what's next, what's to come. They're getting their systems in place. They're talking about schemes and strategies. They're thinking about the next wave of athletes that are coming in and how they're going to fill those holes. So actually in this moment, even though the pandemic is a part of it, is that it's not directly affecting our natural rhythm. So this is a time for us to connect, you know, make sure everyone's okay, making sure that we're, you know, resources for each other, but it's not directly affecting at this moment in time the natural rhythm of our season.
Seattle Seahawks psychology coach, Dr. Michael Gervais here on the Will Cain Show. I really appreciate it. That's a fascinating conversation. I wouldn't mind having more with you about how this plays out, not even in extraordinary times, in ordinary times as well, Doctor. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. I found that fascinating. But I'm always a sucker for psychology. I love it, man. I believe much of sports, I believe much of life is between your ears. I truly do. It's not just your natural physical talent, it's between your ears. Hey, what's the best lawyer movie of all time? Phone lines are lit up with some examples, some things we forgot. Why'd you take them off the screen? Are they there? Jeff in Pennsylvania. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good. What do you got for me?
The Client.
That's another Grisham movie, right? Which one was that? Who else was in that?
Susan Sarandon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the one about the kid, right?
He's Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate the call. Matt from Hollywood.
Hold on,
what's up,
Matt? Before you go to Matt, let's go to Brent from D.C. He's big. He's a friend of Bubba's.
Oh. Brent, you're one of Bubba's boys, huh?
I am. I grew up with him.
All right, what's up? What you got here?
I want to suggest, if you guys haven't put it on the big board, A Few Good Men.
It's up there, Brent.
Well, A Few Good Men and Justice for All with Al Pacino is another good one that you guys should have on the big board.
Justice for All is a new one. That's good. Bubba, do you want to get right. You want to say anything to your buddy Brent?
No, not particularly. He's called before. Okay. I have nothing to say to Brent.
Wow. Wow, Brent. How's that make you feel?
That's so harsh. We used to go over to his family's house for Thanksgiving every year, and this is how he treats me?
Exactly. It's probably because you said A Few Good Men, and that was really the first one anybody mentioned. But I'm not going to hold it against you. But it's clear Bubba is, you know? And I'm not even your buddy, you know? I don't know. You might need new friends, Brent. This is my thought. I'm not sure.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.